listening to the You're Wrong podcast.
I'm Swedish.
Insert sexual inference where you want.
Hello, I'm Kratos.
Fuck you, sir!
What the fuck happened there?
Attack on Titan with foxes?
You're Wrong podcast.
Oh, sorry, Chris. I didn't bang a whale.
Hello, and welcome back to another delightful recording of You're Wrong. With me, as always, I have... It smells like almonds.
I can't tell from here.
You, old, you need to get closer. Just get in. Just get your...
No, thanks. I'm good.
No, no, it feels like almonds. We're in your armpit when you do that.
No. That's
disgusting. That's too close.
Luciano.
Sure.
What do you smell like, Luciano?
I smell like pizza.
Oh.
Better, also worse. And as always, we have our special reappearing guest, Spencer.
The premium so good guest.
To be, so good to be here, guys. Long time listener.
Yeah. It's nice to see you. Just
honored to that you'd bring me back.
Yeah. Why not? What the hell? What do we got to lose? Maybe.
A lot.
Well.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of already in the basement, so you can't go too much farther than this.
Always
anywho.
Black on black.
Black on. Oh, yeah. That too. This week, we have decided to return to one of our premium games.
Sure.
Themes.
Format.
Formats. Those are all words you could use. Pick your favorite. And we're going with a battle royale. We decided that we should select from the world of Spycraft. There's a lot of options in that realm.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. Spencer, you're the guest. Which amazing spy did you pick?
The eagle is in the nest. I repeat, the eagle is in the nest. Spy games have begun.
Who are you talking about? Because that sounds like you're trying to
seduce. Had a mini stroke. Had a mini stroke there.
No, that's people. The people who know. Now,
so not you.
So no one. I picked. I decided to try something different and go with a Star Trek character outside the wheelhouse.
What?
Crazy.
Out of your comfort zone, huh?
Yeah. And I know people are going,
oh, what? No.
Star Trek? What spies are in Star Trek? Mm. And to you, I say, get
the traveler
fucked. Like, educate yourself. I picked not the traveler, the pedophile with very tight pants.
There you go.
Jesus. Watch the show and you'll get it. I picked the one and only Garak from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Great show, great character.
Okay.
You're not familiar with Garak's work?
Luciano gets it.
I'm yeah.
Luciano, tell the audience a little bit about Garak, please.
Well, he is from Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's true.
He appears in the Deep Space Nine series.
Okay.
I'm going to guess he's an alien, given his name.
Wow. You're not
wrong.
That's racist, but correct.
Yeah, exactly.
I am. With aliens, I am.
Speciesist.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that all? That's all?
A tool of the humanity.
What race is he? What alien race is he?
I have no idea. I have no
Just take a Jesus. Take a shot.
He is a Rodian.
Oh!
I'm laughing too!
You idiot!
Oh.
Laugh at the man.
I have no idea.
No, that's wrong. He's a Kardashian, you fool.
Oh, sorry.
Is that Kardashian?
He's a Kim Kardashian.
One of the same. Okay, great choice. Well, we'll find out if it's a good choice. It might have been a terrible choice, honestly. Luciano, since you have no idea with what he mentioned, why don't you go next?
Well, I picked... the one and only Sterling Mallory Archer from the series Archer, obviously.
I struggled.
Yeah,
he's the greatest
spy in the world. Everybody knows.
I mean,
according to himself.
Yeah, I guess. I
mean, phrasing, Luciano.
Yeah.
Are we not doing phrasing?
Good job, shit, everybody. Spencer. We all made fun references. Chris, it smells like almonds. What do you got for me?
I have got the most shagadelic
international
man of mystery, who often refers to his genitals as meat and two vegetables, testicles, pills, undercarriage, and wedding tackle. Austin Danger Powers. Yeah, baby!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Yeah.
Alrighty. We have picked the finest representatives we could find from the spy world. However, we still have one more we need to pick, and that's indeed for me. So, as we always do, all three of you have selected an option for me to select from. So when I made these questions that are very important and very targeted, I would not be able to cheat in any way by favoring the spy I had. So let's go and
we run a very moral ship here. No funny business.
Shut the fuck up. This is my podcast.
We follow the rules.
Jesus.
Matt's gone full dictator.
So angry.
Chris, what spot did you choose for me?
I chose the formerly codenamed 006, a fictional former intelligence operative of the 007 section, also known as Janice, also known as Alpha One, also known as Alec Trevelyan.
From Goldeneye?
From Goldeneye.
Why did my spy have to be the one who dies?
Yeah.
You don't have to die now.
For England, James.
I'll see you in hell, James.
For England?
No, for me.
Oh, no.
Great scene.
GoldenEye.
Is that the song?
I don't know.
He's the eyes with the golden.
Great, let's just move on.
Yes,
that's the theme song.
We needed to practice that. Like we had session jam time.
We nailed it.
We really didn't need to practice or perform it.
Well, we didn't go over this because I was gonna pick 007, not knowing that he picked 006.
Don't reveal your shit. Like do you?
I'll go with 009 then.
Who's that?
Yo, mama. No.
Oh, wow.
Got him.
Wow.
How did this get derailed in the first 10 minutes?
Luciano, you go first. I got to pick up another one because I was going to say 007, but now I can't.
Yes, you can.
Right, I don't want one of the options to be 006 or 007.
Yeah, I'll pick 008.
Yeah.
No, I picked Mr. Ethan Hunt.
Red light, green light.
Yeah,
like he sounds like a football referee.
Listen,
I love it.
In his defense, he was leaning against a windshield
of a helicopter,
trying to explode shit,
having to explain it to the man he was about to kill.
Yeah, look, this looks like bubble gum, but it's actually an explosive.
And why are we referring to his lights when they're gum? That's a good pick. Damn it, that was like my backup pick.
Are you serious?
Okay, I'm on the spot now. Think of another spy.
Sure.
Cody Banks.
Hey,
it's literally the first one that comes to mind.
Cody Banks is played by Frankie Muniz,
baby.
Yeah. Wow, just a smorgasbord of shit here.
The diversity.
Yeah, that's a word you could use. I am really down on my Ethan Hunt knowledge. I haven't watched many of the new ones, and I have only watched
they're so good.
So long
same,
ago.
Same.
Listen,
I have.
I'll get
so
them,
good.
But, and I did never watched Cody Banks.
What?
It's only 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
I think it's just an age thing. Me being.
I've never seen it either.
Decades. What the fuck?
I just know of him.
Just because it's 38% on Rotten Tomatoes doesn't mean it's a total waste of your time.
I mean, it might.
Hey, listen, I can give you another option if you want.
2003.
Well, it seems to defeat the game. I can listen. All right. Sean Bean is a narrow band, but I can operate within that band. I've seen that movie multiple times. It's a classic.
He basically can do whatever Bond could do, except for
mostly
slightly worse.
And he's got
he did one thing that Bond
are his
never
parents
did.
Cossacks. Is that what it is?
Wait, you know more than us.
Sean Bean's parents. Jeez, I'm already
the actor's parents.
Yeah, Sean. No, okay, that makes it clear.
The little known fact that his last name is actually Binowski. It's not, yeah, it's not Bean.
I'm legit looking that up. I need to know. My parents. Reality has been shattered.
No, Sean Bean's parents are got to be Scottish and British.
Wait, are you looking up Sean Bean's parents? Or are you looking up
we need to know.
Trevelyan. Sheffield. Yeah, Tarita Tuckwood and Brian Bean. There you go.
Brian Bean is that is so sad as a name.
It's adorable.
Sean Bean sounds cool, or Sean Bean, but
Sean Bean or Sean Bun. I mean,
yeah, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Sean Bond.
Anyway,
or Sean Bean.
So you're picking then the spy that did the one thing that James Bond never did, which is die.
Yep.
Talk to Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Yeah,
but he didn't die.
Alec, how do we pronounce his last name?
Trevelyan, maybe. Trevelyan? However you prefer.
It's was born 006. To a family of Lianne's Cossacks. It's like the first thing in his biography.
Trevelyan, yeah. I think it's Trevelyan.
Trevelyan, we're going with it. Okay, great. We have selected our spies.
He basically has villain in his last name.
Some of them are evil. Yes, with villain in his last name. But
who
would
have known it? Who
no
saw
one
that
said
coming?
Specifically spies were good. So
Alec Nemesis.
Listen, this is the same like movie that has
I feel like that was a
Ivana
typo
on the top in it. So
it was like a typo on the thing. It was like his last name is the villain, and it was like that somebody read it as Trevelyan. Like yeah, that's his last name. In brackets, it was the villain.
Here we are. On the top was already problem enough. So, all right, let's get into these questions. Mm-hmm. First question. Simple. What is your greatest success as a spy? And as always, the randomizer will randomize who is going to answer this question.
The payoff was so sad on that.
It sounded like the song took a shit, like the tiniest turtle head shit at the end. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. it cut the rope, and then it was just a
like a big build up to a
it made a promise it never delivered.
Oh my
that's
God,
what that
never.
Song did.
That's the not name of close. The next Bond movie song.
I love it. Looks like Luciano, you have won or lost. So can you give us Sterling Mallory Archer's greatest success
as a spy?
I mean, I didn't say that.
Okay, so definitely bagging Kadia. I yield my time. For himself, 100% bagging Kadia and not dying by Barry.
A little bit more context for the folks out there who have no idea what you're talking about.
All right,
I remember
fine.
Lana,
so,
but I don't remember Kadia.
So Kadia was the Russian spy that he ends up marrying.
Marrying. The white
no
hat.
She had
was
like
she
the
blonde?
Long blonde hair yeah
season one
and then she I think it's one
maybe?
Or two yeah
okay
and then
okay.
And then she dies and then Kruger brings her back as a robot and then he bangs her again. So really it's a two for one there, but yeah. So for those out there who don't know, Archer is kind of a slut, so much so that one of his aliases is slut. But his main alias is Duchess, but let's leave that alone. So he, like, I think if he was as a spy, I would have a harder time because he actually did some impressive stuff for, you know, Archer. But if you asked him what he was, his main accomplishment was begging Kadia first as a human and then as a cyborg. 100%.
You're not going to talk about how she married Robot Barry?
No, because that's okay. Not a good thing for him.
okay, fair enough. Not gonna dig into it. Not gonna dig too deep.
Yeah.
Next up on our randomizer, we have It Smells Like Almonds.
Indeed. So greatest achievement, I would have to say it's see, not many humans on the planet have a mojo quotient as high as Austin Danger Powers. And so when you think about the parallels between this almost chosen one, like, you know, how do you say quantification, I'd say the fact that Austin Powers lost his mojo, like it was stolen from him in the past by Fat Bastard, and that he was able to get said mojo back in the future, that's kind of fucked up. But the best part is that even though, like, when I say he got it back, like it was extracted in this vial, and the vial actually was shattered and like you know, spilt all over the ground, and like the base was gonna, you know, explode. So he never actually retrieved it. But guess what? He never really lost the mojo. So how do you get something stolen from you that can't be stolen? Greatest achievement ever.
Just, I love how seriously you're describing this film, like it was,
yeah,
like was the most serious moment. And when all hope was lost and his mojo was shattered upon the floor.
I would argue that he did literally nothing.
And I would agree.
Didn't he?
So
the spy games continue.
His biggest accomplishment was not losing something? Is that what you're saying?
I would say so. But at the same time, when in the past, when his mojo was apparently stolen, in the present, his mojo went kaputs and he was in the sack with a partner sexually, and everything came to a grinding halt sexually.
He was able to have sex. What a hero.
He wasn't.
No, but now he could.
Well, he always could.
Okay. I mean, you've just continued to walk around that he did
fuck
nothing.
You. Fuck you. I see your boo and I raise you a fuck you. Fuck you.
He's just like,
fuck you.
All right. I think Chris yields his time.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
The slowest and longest self burn I've ever seen.
It's not a self burn, bitch. Motherfucker had to go on the journey to realize the treasure that still lived within. That he proceeded to tap that.
Right. Proceeded to tap that ass.
I love that. What a spy. Yeah, good job, yeah, Spencer. Take the rest of Chris's time and explain.
Good
it
luck.
To me.
Well,
sexually.
Now, Garrick had a long history as a spy before the show even began.
Sexually,
that is unknown to the audience.
Sexually.
Thank you. And but one of the moments when you realize how much of a true master spy he was is in the episode In the Pale Moonlight. Spoilers for episode In the Pale Moonlight. Basically, I will wrap it up quickly. They're at war with the Dominion and they need the Romulans.
Grocery store?
Yeah, the chain. And they need the Romulans to not join up with the Dominion. And Sisko is trying to figure out a way to make the Romulans not join. So he gets Garrick to make a forgery of something to convince the Dominion, the Romulans, that Dominion were not going to join them. Long story short, the thing he makes, that's the fake, what's it called? The fake document he makes, it's actually a hologram. The forgery doesn't pass the inspection. So they think that it's all gone to hell. But at the end, as the ship's leaving, the ship blows up, the Romulan ship blows up, and Garrick actually planned the whole time to kill them and blame the assassination on the Dominion. And he never expected the forgery to work. And then that gets the Romulans to go to war with the Dominion. So he single-handedly changes the fate of the entire quadrant. And if you're still awake, I will add that Sisko, the moral captain, the greatest victory Garrick did was made Sisko bend his morals, which no other captain does. Because he, at the end, he says, I could live with it. Yes, I could live with it.
Sexually. Yeah.
And that is why Garrick is a badass motherfucking spy.
Sexually.
sexually.
Oh, great. Love it. Great answer. I'm here for it. That leads me to go last. I'm pretty sure greatest achievement for my good friend Alec is faking his death. It's pretty solid death faking. Bond was really upset when he died. So I think that's the one. I mean, yeah, he did some other cool stuff like, you know, stealing GoldenEye and dropping on stick and stuff. But I think the main thing here is
dropping on stick.
What? What?
That's really? A turn?
Sexually.
No, I sexually? Mean, yes. He dropped on his dick non-sexually.
Yeah.
For a change.
His erection was so profound, it broke his fall. Sexually.
Sexually. Yeah, no, I think
sexually broke his fall.
just imagine. You remember when Captain America hurled himself out of that building in Winter Soldier and landed on a shield? That's what Alec did with his dick sexually, and he survived. Well,
and orgasm.
In a way, then a giant satellite falls on it. So there's, but that, yeah.
Same. You're saying he got penetrated.
But we're not talking about that right now. This is his greatest success, not his greatest failure. And so I really just think faking his death, you know, like going to the chemical factory, you know, getting the evil Russians to like murder him and get James to run away and not know that he's dead was
classic.
Really
move.
sets up his plan into motion. Glorious plan.
What was his last name again?
Villain.
Let's see the here. Trey Villian.
Who would have thought he'd turn bad?
Très vilain. Yeah. That's why he's very villainous.
See, if you phonetically break that down with French, that almost sounds like three. Well, no,
very.
That's trois. Thank you.
Very villainous.
Yeah, there you go.
Très vilain.
See, that's why I'm not supposed to live in Montreal. I haven't embraced the language.
Trey means three in Spanish. And
thank you. See, that's where I should be. This? You know? Ducats? Paella?
Yeah.
Good answer.
Okay, we're moving on to question two.
Dose.
Who is your spy idol? Or, as I like to create the portmanteau, spidle.
So you're asking who our chosen character's idol is?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
Why would I care what yours is? I don't care about you.
I'm just trying to understand.
Barry Manilow guy.
It's just pretty established that we don't care about anything.
Yeah. Randomizer, if you please.
Dan, 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 dan,
dan, dan, dan, is not the name of this song. Go, did I?
No, that was the Voyager theme song, which didn't really make any sense.
You're welcome.
No, it didn't, but I went with it.
But I can't remember the Deep Space Nine theme song.
Let someone else go in front of me. I still don't understand this question.
I'm sorry. I love not it. To understand?
I need it. I need an example.
Who's your spy randomized hero?
The randomizer tells us who goes first. It's
thank
like
you.
I just make this up.
The randomizer
as I go.
I'm praying to the randomizer for someone else to give me an example.
Okay,
so that randomizer. I can help me frame that's my fair. Answer. That's all.
The randomizer is God.
Randomize. Yeah. Well, in a way it is.
All hail the randomizer.
Randomizer.
Anywho, the randomizer has selected...
in its great wisdom.
In its great, glorious wisdom.
So benevolent.
Myself as the first person. Sean Bean's Spidle. Interesting. One might say it was James Bond himself, but also I think he may have hated him in another way. So that's a whole thing between the two of them.
That's a common.
I think character you can hate the man, but like the spy. Yeah.
It breeds jealousy.
You can admire the man professionally while hating him personally.
Why did he hate him?
James Bond?
Yeah.
They were like rival. They were both like parentless kids who got
or would you say into the agency. I'm going to coin the portmanteau spivals.
Spivals? Oh, I thought you were going to say sporfins. Spy orphans.
Sporfins? It almost sounds like spork.
It's mighty Sporfin time.
Listen, I thought we were trying to empathize for a moment, but it's okay. You went in a different direction.
He's Sporfin time.
Sporfin time. 006!
007.
Spy orphans to the rescue.
That does sound like a poor kind of Paw Patrol kind of spinoff somewhere.
I want to see that. Please,
another million-dollar idea. Yes. So, is that your answer?
So it's
James Bond.
So is that James Bond?
Okay. Yeah,
that's makes what sense. I'm going
with. Yeah. Next up, we have Spencer.
So Garrick's hero would be. I'm going to try and pick someone in the Star Trek world.
Okay.
Because technically it could be anybody.
Garrick's Spidle is like, I don't know.
I'm not going to use the term Spidle. I won't. Oh, I just did. No!
The circle is complete! Bless sacrifice!
You have played yourself, sir.
Forgive me, randomizer.
Another one.
Forgive me for my sins.
Another one.
I will say that the Garrick's true idol is, believe it or not, is Dr. Bashir. He's his unofficial best friend on the show. Although he's constantly kind of teaching him things, but Bashir's morality is often never broken. And I think he admires his character. So I think he actually looks up to him in his own way.
Is that because Bashir's morality is
superhuman
in a lab?
Yeah, genetically modified.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Star Trek jokes. Heisa!
Are you running low on morality? Try Odo's morality vials. Available now at your local DS9 substation.
I'd get that.
Odo's goo? No, thank you.
Eat some Odo's goo.
It's organic.
That makes it worse.
Don't ask questions.
So much worse.
58 but credits.
I do think that Garrick looks up to him as a not as a spy, but just as a person. As a spy, right. You probably look up to someone in the Obsidian Order.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Chris. The randomizer is giving you some time.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Praise be your randomizer.
Austin's Spidle, I would say is Mrs. Kensington. So his partner, his spy partner from
Yave.
Yeah. His spy partner from the 60s. And you know, in a lot of ways, she was the one that got away from him. But at the same time, Mrs. Kensington was modeled after Mrs. Emma Peel, the spy from the British spy show, The Avengers. So in a lot of, and she was, I think, for the short amount of screen time that she had, she was they did that. It was less of a parody and a little more of like. It was closer to an homage. To
an homage?
MFA. Yeah,
an homage.
Closer to that.
You're in Montreal, goddammit.
No.
Yeah.
I reject.
Just a little.
A homage.
It's a homage.
Nah,
a homage.
Thank you.
With fromage. You know what fromage is?
Yeah. I know what fromage is. Bromage.
Bromage. It's a fromage homage.
You know, one more fromage on my pizza.
It's a frothing fromage to this explanation of the homage.
Chris, could one say that then Austin Powers' Spidle might just be Emma Peel?
You could extend it towards that. Yeah. See, I was trying to
be wrong.
Well, I don't think I am.
I like to believe there's a world where all these spies exist.
I don't think that's helpful.
The Austin Powers world is separate. I think everybody exists. It's like all our other battle royales. Everybody exists in the same universe.
Interesting. Okay. I was working within my sphere.
By the randomizer.
Like a Nexus universe ruled by the RNGesus.
It's the randomizer.
Praise be.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you for that education. Yeah. That clarifies.
I'm so glad you clarified that after I answered. Thank you.
Open your mind.
Ooh.
I don't know. In my head, if that's the case, then, yeah. You know, if all of those spies, not just ours, are in this universe, I would have to say another big influence on Austin Powers was Maxwell Smart.
Timeline? What timeline did Maxwell Smart occupy? Was it the 70s or
from
I don't know?
From Get Smart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 60s. But 60s? Okay, yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And Maxwell was American or otherwise?
American. Oh, yeah, American.
Okay, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Of course, American.
Austin Powers' biggest influence is James Bond, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, clearly.
There's that whole thing.
At the same time, it was
whole thing there.
Combination of another Peter Sellers character, Evelyn Tremble, if I'm not mistaken. So
it's Peter a Sellers melange.
It's getting too meta. It's getting too meta.
Shut the fuck up! Shut up!
For the record.
Shut up!
Peter Sellers played James Bond.
What?
What?
Peter Sellers. I'm pretty certain. He was the original James Bond. They did a Casino Royale movie.
That wasn't with Peter Sellers.
Wasn't it Peter Sellers?
No.
I don't know about
it. It was Sean Connery.
No, Casino Royale.
The very first Casino Royale.
Randomizer, please answer these questions.
Right. He's right. He's correct. He's correct.
Ooh. Or.
No, it was Peter Sellers in Casino Royale?
The first one, not the one with.
No, he was Evelyn Tremble in the original Casino Royale.
I'm sorry, really?
Yeah.
Or is Austin Powers spy Derek Flint from In Like Flint?
I use your time. James Moving on. Colbert.
God damn it,
Luciano! Yeah, you still have to.
Luciano's right. He did play Evelyn Tremble.
Sorry, he wasn't technically James Bond.
But he was also James Bond.
It's complicated in that movie.
Yeah, it's very fucked up. Anyways, moving on. Luciano,
so,
if you could.
Archer's actual idol is Burt Reynolds, which is not, he's not a spy, but basically his whole personality is modeled after, like, very, like, early on Burt Reynolds. But I think if Archer had to pick a spidol, like a spider was his idol.
Kurt
it would
Ferguson?
Be James Bond. No, it would be James Bond just from the amount of just women he banged everywhere.
In so like Sean Connery
friends.
Era James Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
Does just James Bond exist in the Archer world? Does he ever mention him?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he ever mentions any other spies.
I think his hero is a mock turtleneck.
Oh, for sure. Well, no, that's just his best friend.
That's true.
When your neck is cold, you got the mock turtleneck. It's your best friend.
Yeah. If I had to guess, like from just the way that he is, it would be James Bond. Not because he was a great spy or he was like, you know, good at his job. Just because he was like, that man knows what a spy is supposed to do.
So all three of your characters' heroes was James Bond.
Don't speak for me.
I mean, it makes sense.
No, you don't. Only the randomizer speaks.
Do you want to change your answer for Garrick to James Bond?
I think I should. If Garrick can pick from anyone in any world, it's got to be James Bond.
Moving on. Next question. What is the coolest gadget you've used?
Ooh, that is a good question.
We're gonna hit the randomizer here.
It's the same note. Diversify.
That's the theme from Austin Powers. Don't you question the randomizer?
You're not the randomizer.
I'm not. How dare you?
No one's the randomizer.
As if I were a god.
Praise be, randomizer.
Oh, man.
Okay, the randomizer has come up with, well, it looks like Chris lost this round since he begged for forgiveness in the first round.
Austin doesn't use a lot of gadgets.
I mean, he wrote a book about one gadget in particular.
I mean, if you want to think about it sequentially, sexually, then his Swedish pump and the warranty for said Swedish pump and the manual Swedish pumps are totally my bag, baby, as told by Austin Powers, Austin Danger Powers. I could see that chain
you know, supporting that statement. And so, and you know, you are actually onto something, because in the final sort of scene of the first movie, when he and Vanessa get married and they're on their honeymoon, random task knockoff of Oddjob comes in, tries to kill him. He uses the pump on his dick to like hold him at bay until they can knock him out. So
great answer, and the right answer.
Is it?
No need to elaborate.
There's something else. There's something else. Is it better? No, but there is another.
There is another.
I yield my time, though.
Oh, he leaves us on the edge of our seats.
You won't believe what Austin Powers uses as his favorite gadget. Next it's time, not his, on
actually, it, the if it's favorite podcast. Gadget, then it's the Swedish pump.
Coolest, I said, not favorite. Get out of here.
Well, see, next you up, keep switching Spencer. The rules up
no,
on me.
You've yielded your time. Spencer, I did. What do you got?
I stand by that.
Garrick's favorite / coolest device is also the Swedish penis pump.
Yeah, mm. Makes sense.
And yeah. For obvious reasons. Garrick is Garrock.
No, Garrock calls, that's what he calls his dick. He calls it the yeah, Garrock.
The Garrock.
Because he gets high as a rock. Oh god.
And he's already kind of made of rock. Their skin looks like rocks.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you kill a joke in its tracks. Now my actual answer, Garrick doesn't use a lot of tools or gadgets. He's a tailor.
Is he?
Yeah, that's his undercover.
So his favorite gadget is a needle.
Like a needle and like a sewing kit.
His coolest gadget is his sense of whip smart stuff.
Fashion.
Yeah. Fashion statement.
I don't think that collar suits you, my dear. Step over here.
I'm going to say the coolest gadget he uses is a phaser, because he does use it sometimes. And they're pretty cool, because they go, wow. Actually, that's not how they sound.
That's exactly how it sounds. It was like, wow.
No, it sounds.
I'm sorry, that's the sound from fucking, what's that movie with the dreams?
Inception.
Where they go,
Inception.
Inception. Wow. Yeah, that's the Inception.
They fire
sound.
The phaser and it goes, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So it almost sounds like a harpoon being shot before it connects to something too. Boom. Yeah.
So yeah, definitely his favorite gadget's the Inception gun.
Dig it.
I yield my time.
Thank you. Luciano, what do you have for Mr. Archer?
So I have to go with his cane after he comes back from the coma. Because like every episode, that thing does something different. And he still manages to like fuck up in every one of them. But like there's a lot of cool stuff. It's like it has like rockets. It has like a sword inside. It has a grappling hook, I think, at one point. Like Krieger keeps upgrading it, and he keeps fucking it.
You said
he's
it
not
correctly.
A blood. He's a creep.
Someone's fucking a cane.
Well, I mean, if someone would, it would be Archer. But I think it's because before he does use some gadgets, but it's nothing super special, and I don't think he has a favorite. But then when he gets the cane, like he uses that a lot. So it's the cane, particularly I think the rocket cane is the one that he would like the most. Because he's really easily amused by explosions. So,
yep. And deafened by explosions. All right. I'm up. Not a lot of options for our boy below six. This website I'm looking at lists a carabiner. As one of the gadgets in the movie, but that got lost also by the website listing, so we can't use it. I think I'm going to go with that the Tiger helicopter they stole, the one that was supposed to be all resistant to electromagnetic radiation and interference, because they use it to hijack the Golden Eye from Siberia. So that's probably the coolest thing. And he also tried to kill James in it, so you know, double duty.
It's pronounced radii, not radiation.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Anywho, I yield my time. Next question. Okay. Let's go with I don't know. Say, let's say you need to stop a corrupt pharmaceutical corporation from profiting off of fake cancer medications. Mm. Maybe you were diagnosed with breast cancer, and you only started to care about nice. This after you needed the medication. But how would you, stop this corrupt pharmaceutical corporation and make sure everybody gets the correct medicines they need to survive their breast cancer diagnosis? Randomizer, please.
Archer theme song. Archer theme song.
I don't remember it actually.
That's how it goes.
That's a great job, randomizer. All right. Looks like let's see. Luciano, you have won this round.
Have I? Have I really?
Well, we'll find out.
Luciano, come on down.
I think I'm gonna. Yeah, okay, I'm not gonna copy this from what happened actually. So I think Archer, realistically speaking, and given all the troubles that ISIS was in, yes, that was the name of the agency.
Yeah,
my fault. He would either invade the thing and then like steal all of the pharmaceutical companies like stock and then sell it himself on the black market to make money.
Okay.
To buy more whiskey.
Right.
Or he would like like sell Cyril in exchange for the medicine. Like it's one or the other, really.
That's
like
fair.
He would go in guns blazing. Like explode like a sidewall, go in, probably use one of Krieger's like completely illegal and likely probably, fatal gadgets and just go in and steal everything and kill everybody inside, or like sell Cyril to the owner of the pharmaceutical company because he found out, as the good spy that he is, that he has some sort of a middleman fetish, and then he sells Cyril to him and gets like some only for himself though.
Right. Well,
it help with like reducing the prices or making it just for himself.
You don't want to put a good
that
American company out of business, just
out of business, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Not a monster.
No.
No.
Okay.
You're not a communist. So,
yeah. Yeah,
I gotta say, if he really found out that there was a way that he could sell Cyril, he would do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't ask that question, but sell Cyril, I got it. Next up, Chris from the English, very very English part of Montreal. How would Austin Powers solve this problem?
It would require the most elaborate of plans. You see, first, we disguise ourselves in lab coats. Fashioned after
as cancer,
as cancer. Yes,
you must become the enemy in order to thwart the enemy, and then dressed in lab coats sexually, because fuck cancer. You've got to infiltrate the pharmaceutical company in lab coats made of cancer, and once you get close enough to
wait a minute, made of cancer.
Lab coats made of cancer.
Listen. Like you won't turn heads fast enough. You step into the facility while there's a tour being conducted in your cancer lab coats, and then you just proceed to sidle up to one of the tour guides and just nod, in agreement as they divulge certain useless facts. We also make rubber bands. Slip your two fingers inside their pocket and steal the access card. Proceed to move down a labyrinth of hallways and checking doors to see which door is open. You try the first door. Oh, wait, it's unlocked. Inside, you will find several cabinets, filing cabinets. Open up a few, magically find the
cancer
cure, and with your extra tiny camera that can be concealed between your buttocks, you snap all the pictures you need to help thwart the evil corporation,
And then you escape through the ventilation system into a hot air balloon.
Love it.
Laughing quietly to yourself.
Shaped as a mission. Well, but the balloon shaped as a penis.
Well, and then someone goes,
look at that. Shaped... It looks like a giant
tallywhacker.
Johnson.
Exactly. Where? Over there in the tree.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that looks like a giant Willy.
little pig on the bomb.
All right. Next up is 006 himself. Listen.
I'm listening.
It's relatively simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would happen is you would infiltrate the company.
Mm-hmm.
You would transfer all the company's money to various different offshore accounts.
Shell corporations.
Shell corporations, if you will. Shell steal games. All of the, the...
Cancer code.
Serums. The drugs. Nope. They can keep the cancer. Just take it to Cures.
No, they keep take the cancer codes. Okay.
It's chemotherapy drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll take all the drugs. Just all the recipes or whatever for the drugs. Mm-hmm. And then... we'll just vaporize. Not vaporize. We'll just do a little golden eye pew pew to wipe out all the computers and hard drives and stuff. So no traces of us ever being there.
No traces of the cure.
No. We took the
it's
cure.
On
with
fire.
Us.
Oh no! Someone think of the children.
We took the cure. We took all the money.
Okay.
And then we'll sell the real drug at a much higher markup since I actually run an evil corporation, not a good corporation. But that's not important.
I have a question for you, though.
Uh-huh.
So 006 is played by Sean Bean. So how does he die in this mission?
He doesn't die in this mission.
he gets cancer.
He's done. He will die by the end of this episode.
Gotcha.
He's allowed to stay alive until that.
He has to complete the mission.
Yeah.
The cancer's
or get close to completing.
Die sexually.
Sexually, he'll die sexually. Don't worry. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, Xenia was a partner of his, so
yeah. Can't trust. I think Spencer, you're left, correct?
Yes, that is true. Well, right. Garrick likes to be a little more subtle in his. I honestly don't get the question. We're trying to steal the cure for cancer.
I mean, that's an option.
Something like that.
You're stopping.
Okay.
You need to stop a corrupt pharmaceutical corporation from profiting off fake cancer medications.
Oh, it's okay. Fake. How so they don't even have the cure.
No.
So all your plans are terrible then, because all yours involve stealing the cure.
Oh, I was basing my answer on a different episode.
Loud noises.
I was basing it on the episode.
So just to be clear, Matt, your plan was to steal a fake cure and sell it at a markup value.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but also, I took all their money, so they're not out of business.
Got it. Well, thank God.
Got him.
Thank God.
Because your character is très vilain,
right.
You're going to put it out of business,
right.
Of course.
And it's thank
that makes sense.
Randomizer.
Oh, thank God.
Crazy.
Amen. So
raise all
Garrick would go find the lead stockholder of the company,
mm-hmm.
go into his room at night,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and say, "Hello, Mr. Johnson." Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's British. He's not British on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Your family has been taken somewhere, and until the cure is lowered in price, their heads shall remain nameless. Wait, does that make sense?
Sorry, in this scenario, you're just mad that it's still expensive.
You're gonna sell fake drugs. At least do it at
give
a reasonable
a deal.
Price.
I take off my imaginary hat and throw it down thusly. Boo this man!
Fuck you. Yeah, because they gotta make money. I'm not a fucking communist.
You don't. Okay, so let me get this straight. You want for their fake drug racket to not be predatory. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Well, hold on.
Okay, that makes sense.
I should be clear here. In none of these scenarios is there a cure for cancer available. You guys all stole the cure. Wait, there is?
There is. The Irish mob has it, but that's a different question.
Well, okay. So Garrett goes in and says, listen, Garrett goes
that
in.
That was the question I answered.
So let me be clear.
Selective dissection answering.
Yeah.
So Garrett goes into the home of the guy who runs the company, and he says, mm-hmm. I have taken your family, and I have mm-hmm. given them cancer. Now you must cure the Better. Cancer Better. For
Modify
real.
Modify a tricorder to give people cancer.
And sell it to the public at a reasonable price. And then our business will be concluded. I will be back and give you cancer again.
I'm just glad Garrick didn't turn into like Gollum or Jar Jar Binks or Alan Rickman.
My name is
grateful for my, that.
My name is Garrick.
You can't even
Garrick.
It's a bad service.
Miss my name.
Yeah, it's all one accent now. It's all one voice.
Hello, it's my name is Garrick Rickman. Stupid fat services.
Oh my god. They've created a hive mind.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Next question. Tell me about, we'll call it your greatest enemy, maybe your nemesis. So let's go with randomizing this, I think.
Villains. Coming at you.
All right. And the winner is, or the loser is, Chris.
Yes. So, Austin Powers, villain. I mean, there's a lot of evil in the world. But did you know you could get a PhD and or doctorate in evil and evil activities? Sign up now and visit www.devry.com/evil. And one of those magna cum laude graduates happened to be Dr. Evil. Primary, I guess you would say that's his number one nemesis. What else would you like to know about, like, do you want us to identify and then just like share with the audience a little bit?
Like why is he your greatest nemesis?
Oh yeah, he's definitely Austin's greatest nemesis because he makes everything personal. Dr. Evil takes things very personally and exacts his revenge on a personal level. So like even going as so far as to somehow turning his oh my gosh, like the ramifications are kind of fucked here. But anyways, in the 60s, Austin's not sidekick but partner, Mrs. Kensington, apparently had a daughter, and played by Elizabeth Hurley. But in the long run, apparently she was always a fembot, and so in the beginning of the next movie, Dr. Evil switches on the fembot and she tries to kill Austin. And then Dr. Evil has a recording in the fembot's head before she explodes. He's like, I hope you like my present. That's not I don't have a very good impression. Anyways, the point is that he
nailed it.
The whole thing is that he orchestrated this somehow. Furthermore, what the hell happened to the original Vanessa? It's pretty fucked up.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe. He sounds like a bitch. Spencer, how do you think Garrick would neutralize Dr. Evil?
Garrick would go like, you seem like quite an evil individual. I'm not going into Alan Rickman. Well, it looks like you're quite the individual.
Zip it. And then, I got a whole bag of zip it.
No.
Problem comes along, you must zip it.
No, Dr. Evil is more like, okay, yes, and then what?
You gotta
you're
go
going to put. You're going to do and then you're going to do what to me, and then Garrick's gonna go.
Okay, thank you.
And then Garrick's gonna say, "Have you ever seen one of these?" From my time, it's called a phaser. And it's going to go, bwah.
Oh, a laser.
It's going to go, bwah.
Where's the shark?
Yeah.
Where is the shark?
I only see lasers on freaking heads of freaking. freaking shark.
Freaking.
I mean, I guess Garrick's head's kind of like a shark head.
Yeah. Mm. What are you, sort of walking shark or something?
Yeah. Mm. Nice. Okay. I like it. Interesting. Interesting take, but I think that would definitely neutralize him. Luciano, can you tell me about Sterling Archer's greatest nemesis, frenemy, enemy?
It's a no-brainer. It's Barry. Bartholomew Aloysius Dillon.
Mm.
Who he royally fucked.
I just want to make sure everyone caught it. His initials are bad.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
just check. Did you feel hit in the head? Did you feel hit in the head? Whacked upside the head? Yeah, okay. So he was a spy in the rival agency that basically every time they ran into each other, Archer fucked him up for no reason. Until he almost died and then became a cyborg in the service of the KGB and then proceeded to fuck Archer all the way back. He stole his bionic wife. I fucked her in front of him.
Hmm.
As they were fighting him, that fight turned into a copulation session for the two. He imprisoned him. He tortured him. I think at one point, threatened to cut off his nipples. I mean, it gets personal. Just generally made his life a living hell after he became because he's basically invincible as a cyborg. And Archer is such a dick that he actually gave the robot multiple personality disorder. So there were two Barrys inside the same Barry, and one was like, "I forgive you," and the other one was like, "Kill, kill, kill." So yeah, this is one instance where you know you look at what the arch nemesis did, and you go, "Yeah, okay, I understand, I empathize." But yeah, there's no one that comes near.
Okay.
Barry is the arch nemesis, and arguably wins in the end.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yes,
Austin
sir?
Powers has a lot of experience with dealing with robots.
This is true. This is true.
What if we just said Barry was a fembot of some sort? How would Austin Powers take care of him?
He would... if Barry was a fembot and Barry was trying to put the moves on Austin, I mean, at first I think Austin would be quite flattered, but then if Barry is trying to seduce Austin... And I guess if there's a very like abrupt shirt opening, like Austin would probably be like, "Oh, I see you're also a man of sensual charisma. I see you and I raise you a seductive gyration of the hips." And then you see
sexually,
and so like it'd pretty much be a mojo sexual dance off, and more likely it would get pretty close, because if Barry is a fembot and he's a cyborg, but he also has human memories, then he could probably remember what it was like to try to woo the object of his affection. And so it would be quite close, but I think Austin would still win, because I'm not quite sure how far Barry is willing to go with, you know, nipples. And so I think it would be, you know, a done deal by the time Austin's ready to just like unsheathe his legs from his pantaloons, and Barry would still probably end up malfunctioning and probably his arms would explode.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Probably somewhere. I think it would work. Spencer, who would you say is Garrick's greatest nemesis?
I mean,
a pomus?
Probably Gul Dukat.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he is a another Cardassian who works with the Cardassian Empire. And they don't like Garrick very much because Garrick was banished from the Cardassian Empire for reasons that are too much to go into here. But Gul Dukat, he's a real he's a real jerk. You know?
A boo-cot, if you will.
A real, real boo... What? Boo-cot.
Boo-cot this man!
More like dull boo-cot. Yeah, so that would be his greatest nemesis, I guess. I mean, a real spy doesn't make enemies. He kills them.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if Trey's evil over here had to take care of Gul'dan, he would just strap him in a helicopter, and then I guess it wouldn't be a helicopter for him. Strap him into a
carpet
shuttlecraft.
Shuttlecraft, right? And then just fire
Photon.
I was going to say proton torpedoes. And I knew that
I imagine correct. They have proton.
Photon torpedoes.
Times are hard.
But I think what they'll use is, you know how in Undiscovered Country, how they make that like seeking torpedo because the ship is cloaked. So they use and it's just like, they're going to use that on the shuttle for Gul'dan. So they're going to fire out and then streak back and then blow.
Does 006 have access to 24th century technology? God damn it, Matt.
Listen, that's
the problem with this.
How else are you going to kill Gul'dan?
With a little laser gun.
Well, you couldn't get it done. With
a laser wristwatch.
I didn't see Garrick getting it done.
Oh, Garrick could have got it done. He just doesn't want the.
He didn't.
Moving on. He doesn't want the attention.
Moving on. I think we all know who Trey's Evil's nemesis is. It is James Bond.
Life.
You raise a good point. Let's unpack this a bit. Because Life found a way to kill Mr. Trey's Evil. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you really think about it, that is his greatest nemesis. He was never able to stop the Life in James Bond, and Life was able to kill him. So I'm going to have to agree with Chris.
You have a beautiful way with words.
I do.
I follow
that. I'm a professional. Luciano, how would Sterling Archer stop Life?
How would he stop Life? How does one stop Life? Do we want to get philosophical? Yeah.
You die.
Yeah, well, then Sterling did that twice.
What if you stop Life sexually?
Oh.
Well, that's right up Archer's alley.
David Carradine style. Too much?
What?
Oh, I saw.
What? You stop Life?
I think Archer would engage in some autoerotic asphyxiation
again,
especially if he was looking in the mirror. So I think Spencer nailed it. I think he would hang himself sexually from a ceiling with a belt sexually, and then end his life sexually.
Sexually.
So to stop Life.
To from stop defeating life, he will kill himself.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes total sense.
Story tracks.
What part of you want me to explain in smaller words? It's perfectly logical.
No, I just want to make sure the audience understood the premise you were laying out for them. Okay. No, that's great. Okay. Next question. Chris, this might sound familiar to you, but don't worry about it too much. Let's say generically that your spy found out that their wife or husband, you know, whatever you want to do, ended up being a robot bent on killing them. I mean, we've heard the term fembot thrown around here, so let's just go ahead and throw it around again. It's a fembot that's trying to kill them. How would they stop this fembot from killing them?
They prefer to go by fem machines.
Oh, my bad. That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, is bot a femtomaton? Slur
word? Yeah, femtomaton.
Femtomaton.
It's also accepted. Bot is a slur.
Yeah, bot is
Russian
slur.
Russian bots.
Right. My bad.
It's their word. It's their it's word. Their word. Not allowed to use.
Thanks. You're the patriarchy. So
is that his name now?
I walked into that one, didn't I?
You did.
Can we get, walked entirely didn't.
Can we get a can we get a randomizer for this one?
And you come from the land down under.
No, I was every. It was the song every time I think about you. I touch myself.
This is an upside.
That's the song.
This is an upside down randomizer.
Yes, it is. Wow. Seems to be.
Anyways, the randomizer has selected that I will go first. Hmm. This is a tough one for Sean Bean. He's not good at not dying.
Your character's 006, not Sean Bean.
I'm sorry.
006 Alec, only died once.
Yeah.
Trey's Evel Yan, or 006, as we'll short form it. Listen, 006 has died, which is more than I can say for any of the rest of the people we're talking about. But I think if he was to get himself out of this, he has some friends. I think that if the Fembot tried to kill him, he would just sick Zanya on the top on the Fembot and Zanya. Or sorry, Fem.
And watch. Fem,
yeah, he would watch, yeah, sexually. Fem automaton.
He'd watch sexually.
Yeah. And he just enjoyed the show.
Fem automaton.
Thank you.
Fem automaton.
He would send essentially one Fem automaton to battle another Fem automaton and watch the action.
Archer approves.
Yeah.
Archer approves.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, I have to wait.
No. Oh, look, Spencer, you're next. Weird. How'd that work out?
See, I foresaw the will of the randomizer.
The living will of the randomizer. Through me.
He speaks.
Praise be.
He.
I didn't want to assume.
All praise his numbers. All praise his numbers.
0111000. The. Garrick would just, I mean, this is, they have technology. Garrick would just reprogram this computer to continue to have sex with him willingly, as it has done.
Sexually.
And, he just reprogram them to stay the same, but not kill him. I mean, you can program computers. You can program computers sexually.
I don't think you should just. So you're saying you're going to take away the Femtomaton's free will?
No, the Femtomaton doesn't have. Well, if it does have free will, does it have free will? It's a fucking Femtomaton. It got programmed to kill.
Does Data have free will?
But Data, so, now, don't Data you bring is sentient. Data in this. Are the Femtomatons sentient? I thought the Femtomatons were just had a directive and they were carrying out orders.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just to make Spencer's life hard. They're sentient.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Garrick
fully
wouldn't
sentient
care.
Beings.
I would
thoughts
care.
And emotions and win and wants and desires and loves. Yes.
Well, Garrick
101011.
Garrick wouldn't be really. He'd just be like, "What does Garrick want? What's best for Garrick?" Nobody ever asked about Garrick. So Garrick just puts himself first.
I'm asking about him right
now. Switch to speaking about himself in the third person.
Why does anyone love Garrick? And what did Garrick ever do?
And that's what he does before he goes to sleep. He does some affirmations and he writes in third person in his journal. It's like
Garrick is good.
No,
Garrick is worthy
Garrick is,
of, lo-
Garrick
of love.
Is okay,
Garrick is capable of love. No, Garrick would take out the program that makes the robot program to kill, because if the Femtomaton was sentient, the killing of Garrick would be programmed into them. It would be part of that sentience. So we take out that part, so the Femtomaton is fully sentient, and then if she didn't love him, he would then take away her sentience.
And oh my then, god! That sounds like a that sounds
holy
like,
shit.
That sounds. That
how was, did you make it worse?
Oh my god!
How the fuck did you make
he'd
it worse?
First, find out if she loved him for real.
And clinically,
Garrick's a monster. What? Let's not mince words.
No shit.
clearly, he's a monster sexually.
But he'd prefer it was all willing.
Wow. Okay. He
gave the femtomaton a choice. Yeah. Either you willingly love me or I will make you love me.
Sexually.
Cool. Yeah. He's not a good guy. So I'm just speaking on behalf of Garrick's evilness. This he did just murder Garrick, two people a moment ago in the first
Garrick,
story.
I've got a great question coming up here, and I think this will really help clear the air about Garrick. We'll let the randomizer decide who goes first, but what do you think is the biggest thing that people get wrong about your spy?
Garrick's not such a bad guy,
randomizer.
Guys.
Randomizer, can you randomize, please? All right, Luciano, you are first answer. What do people get wrong? What's the biggest thing people get wrong about Sterling Archer?
I think what they get wrong and where Archer is really, like, really done dirty and he's misunderstood, it really is in the notion that people have, that he gives a shit about the missions that he does. He doesn't. He just cares about looking cool and getting chicks and drinking whiskey, hopefully all three at the same time. So I think when people put that much pressure on him, complete your mission, save the diplomat,
do it right,
you know, prevent the assassins, whatever. Yeah, whatever. You know, stop the pharmaceutical company from selling fake cancer medication. You know, that puts an undue pressure on Archer, because all that he really wants to do is just be cool and get the chicks and drink very good whiskey.
I feel like that's what they do think of him.
I think people put all of these, you know, expectations on him that he's going to be, you know, a good spy and do the right thing and all those things. You know, he almost died doing the right thing when he saved Lana just because she was pregnant. So
Lana,
all right, with his own baby.
Okay, that's an answer.
So I think that's the biggest misconception. He doesn't really want to be a spy. It's just being a spy is cool. So,
and it's his whole identity. Yeah, doesn't want it. Chris,
listen, we don't go deep into that. Okay, that's dangerous.
Chris, what do you think? What do you think people? What do you think the biggest thing that people get wrong about Austin Powers?
Mm-hmm. Well, while he's, you know, totally a product of his generation, and he seems confident, and he's a total swinger, and he's all about the mantra of being shagadelic, and, you know, making sure that you know, he gets as many opportunities to get on the good foot and do the bad thing with as many saucy minxes as possible. But check this out. I think that a lot of people think that he's loving and kind and, you know, creative and an international man of mystery, but he's actually really terrified of true love and commitment. And so he's more comfortable sort of reaching for sort of like the warmth of the sun, as opposed to like putting some sunglasses on and staring directly at it. It's too bright for him. The concept of true love and the like pursuit of it is way too much. And that's why he prefers to, you know, be as to live a life of promiscuity as he does.
That answer sucked. Okay. It was way
Boo.
Too serious.
Yeah.
Boo.
Boo. Boo this man! Boo!
Boo! What you're saying is he would rather keep his relationships shallow for fear of the depth of love.
Indeed. Indeed.
Sexually.
Sexually. But what? Not quite. Okay. Sexually is as deep as he there. Goes. Emotionally.
he wants something right. real. Emotionally.
Sexually.
He needs to believe that he can be safe within the freedom of love. Of like, you know.
Sexually.
Well, sexually comes easy. Ayo. But what is love? Lady don't
baby.
Hurt me.
Sexually.
Baby don't hurt me.
Moving on. Garrick, explain yourself.
Sexually.
Well, a lot of people think that Garrick is selfish, a monster, evil, and
I'm sorry,
and lying,
about misconceptions,
and lying about being a tailor.
But the truth is, he's actually quite a good trailer. That's it. He's just a good tailor. That part's wrong. He likes it.
Oh, I see.
You killed my joke, Luciano.
He likes it.
Beat me to the punch.
Fuck you. That's what that was? Okay.
Undercut it. Let me say that again, guys. I'm just going to start from the top.
Okay. Do it again.
A lot of people think that he's a monster. He's selfish. He doesn't care about others. That
he's a
bad tailor. But the truth is, he's a good tailor. Everybody laughs.
Do you think it's Eldritch?
You're right. I'm sorry that I stopped that joke in effect.
Well, this time Chris killed it. I'm gonna try again. Let me take him from the top.
Okay. Hey, Spencer.
What do you
think is the biggest misconception about Eric?
A lot of people think.
Oh no, it's Groundhog Day.
A lot of people think that he's a monster. That he's a bad tailor. That he's selfish, racist. But he's a good.
Bill Murray will show up.
But he's a good tailor. He's a good tailor.
I like
all those other things.
I love it when Spencer's camera fails. Spencer's voice magnifies even better. I love it.
So if I could encapsulate what Spencer's trying to say is, he is actually a monster and a terrible person, but he is a well-trained tailor. Make you a nice space suit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have replaced Spencer with Jared Leto's Joker for the remainder of the podcast.
Apparently Jared Leto's Joker with like lung cancer.
Oh no, I got the scar. Oh wait, that's Heath Ledger.
He's lost himself.
Oh my god,
he's lost himself.
This is like watching.
I'm not gonna
watching a train wreck in slow motion.
Descent into madness.
I'm not. Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna hurt you. Really?
I'm not gonna kill you.
Oh my god.
Let's take that one to the top. I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna hurt you. Really? Really? Bad.
I'm gonna go ahead and
real bad.
Let me take it from the top.
Spencer's time. I'm going to yield the rest of Spencer's time because he needs to.
I think it's a good decision.
Be taken up back and shot. Like no. Killer. Anyways, hey guys.
Look at me.
I don't know if you've heard of 006. 006, biggest misconceptions about 006?
He's had a long life to live.
He's not British. Not
what?
British at all. Not even. No, his
Chinese?
Parents. His parents were Cossacks.
Cossacks.
Whoa. Sexually.
Yep. Sexually and
yeah.
Physically what? Cossacks.
Where are Cossacks from?
The Cossack.
Where do babies come from?
The Cossack region of Cossack.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, he's from Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
He's from Kazakhstan. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly. Nailed it.
And take a bow, everybody.
Six times the charm.
Yeah. Soviet Union. Anyways, moving on.
If you have any listeners from Kosakia or Kazakhstan, please hit us up.
We're sorry.
Represent.
We're sorry.
I got one more question.
Okay.
Well, let's say you need to capture and extract information out of an evil leader. I don't know, like it's like somebody's father, maybe like a Cardassian gull's father. Mm-hmm. We had to name the gull. I guess we'll call him Gull Dukat just to make it easy, but like it's not really important. But how would you extract that information out of that person? And you know, would you kill him? Would you?
Well, that's not a good way of getting information.
Well, no, like after you got
would you kill the information out of him?
I don't want to tell you how to do your job. I'll let you answer the question.
A well-known information extraction technique.
Shoot them in the head and take it.
Fucking blow their brains up.
Take the brains out the back.
Like go searching into the brain to find. I'm going to read this person's brain and find the information.
Like a jigsaw puzzle.
You can see Matt studied to be a spy as a young man.
Yeah. Listen, it's not for me to tell you how to do it. You answer how you want. Randomizer, if you please.
I think the randomizer needs to drink some water.
Yeah, it's to drink some water.
No. The randomizer is going through puberty. Praise be.
It's gaining sentience.
Chris, how would you handle this problem?
I think
Austin Powers.
I think Austin would make sure that he appeals to this leader's. Is it the leader's son or the leader themselves?
Well, it's the father.
Thank you. So he would appeal to the carnal charms of the leader sexually.
Good luck.
Don't worry.
Did you actually have to ask sexually after you said carnal? Like, what other way is it carnal?
Buddhist man! Buddhist man! You sit there with your red shirt and your headphones and your chairs with the wheels on it looking at me in your camera. No one asked for your opinion. I'm answering this question. Buddhist man! Boo! Anyways. Appealing to this leader's carnal desires sexually, Austin would just like just saunter over to the leader's crushed velvet three seater and just proceed to just like signal that come sit by me.
The leader's crushed velvet couch.
The leader's crushed.
Yeah, everybody has a crushed velvet couch.
Exactly.
What are you?
And
what kind of a leader are you if you don't have a crushed velvet?
You're not a good one. And so Austin would begin to just check in with him. How are you feeling? Do you feel like you're on your A game? And the leader would suddenly just like no one ever asks the leader how the leader is doing. And suddenly Austin's like,
heavy lies the crown.
Exactly. Austin proceeds to, quite frankly, just listen. Would you like a sensual massage? And like, it's a big gamble for Austin because free love sexually? Is free love sexually. But the leader's like, you know what?
The sexual massage.
It's a sensual massage.
Oh, right. How sexual is the sensual massage? Yeah.
It's a sensual massage sexually.
Essentially. Right. And so, since the leader feels safe in this dynamic, he's like, you know what? Normally I wouldn't do this, but, and then he proceeds to take off his sports jacket, crushed velvet sports jacket. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to lay down thusly, sexually. And Austin's like, thusly, sexually. And Austin's like, do you have any oils? And the leader's like, actually, no, I don't. He's like, listen, I've got in my cravat, what is it called? The cravat. Yes. I've got some toothpaste. It's minty. Like, it'll probably help.
Awful.
It'll probably help. Listen, don't worry about it. Let's just listen, just go with the leader. And the leader's burns. Like, okay, I don't know. And then like, listen, Spencer, we'll put some water on it.
He's a Cardassian for all
that's
we
right.
know.
Yeah.
Mint is the most erotic sexual.
You don't know exactly.
He can also be deathly allergic.
Pheromones.
To
him, No, and he's so, not. This is Chris's story.
Right. And so he squirts like he squirts sexually. He squirts the toothpaste onto
he
the
squirts leader. Sexually.
He squirts
that
the
happens.
Toothpaste onto the leader's trapezius muscles and then sprays because there happens to be a plant mister nearby. And he just rubs it in. He just rubs it in. And he's like, when's the last time you talked about those launch codes? And suddenly like the leader just can't. It was, you know what? Ugh, I don't know. Everybody's at me and I don't even know if I remember anymore. 1014514 Kardashian. And so
Kardashian
from that. A launch code is a launch code. It's part numeric, part alphanumeric and part verbal.
And then it was like, Kardashian.
Oh, listen,
he's a big fan.
And exactly. Sexually.
Verbal, semantic, Yeah, I got it.
It's a hybrid, right? And Austin's like, you know, so, do you feel? How do you feel? I'm almost done. How do you feel? How do you feel?
And the leader's like, I'm almost there.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And the leader's like, don't stop. Don't stop. Austin, you are a man out of your time sexually. And then Austin's like, you know what? I hope you have a long lasting. You don't stop! And knocks him out.
Well, that was just really fast.
If I got this concise correctly,
yeah.
So what you're saying is that Austin Powers takes his Minty Cravat toothpaste mm-hmm. and massages the leader
sexually,
thereby mm-hmm. inducing some sort of like
arousal,
suggestible state sexually.
Talk longer,
arousal as well.
Talk longer, Luciano. Like.
That,
listen, words are hard. And that's how he gets the code?
Yes.
As we all saw coming, okay. Be a little more creative next time.
Listen.
Easiest low-hanging fruit.
Listen, you goofball. The next time, I haven't seen any of you try to implement any toothpaste. No, you boo this man. You boo this man. I give you many boos. Boo-hoo.
I'm going to have to yield Chris's booing time. because we need to get to our other spies' answers. I have come off next in this scenario. And our good friend 006, he has many, many skills and abilities in his tree of...
Sexual
murders.
Sexual murders!
And so I think what he would do
ball crushing.
He would probably just kill him, take his brains, have them analyzed for the codes he needs, extract those codes, GoldenEye the whole area, just so no one knows what happened.
Is GoldenEye like a verb or
a adjective or whatever?
Just broad strokes.
GoldenEye all over the place. GoldenEye on the couch. GoldenEye on the walls.
Just get a little shellacked.
Fucking gold everywhere.
Bust up that mint and that mint toothpaste and there's gold eye all over the place.
You know,
Austin Powers has an enemy that would like that
very much.
Gold member would like that. It'd be salty. It's so
just
sexually
pretty good.
Sexually, just put it in the box and it's a keeper. And we're just gonna do, you know, just a broad golden eye strokes all over the place sexually. And we're good.
Okay.
Gone. Yep. Great. I yield my time. Luciano.
As you should.
How would Archer take care of this?
So here's what would happen. Archer would hear, you know, the briefing of this mission, as he usually does, half drunken from some other place. He would hear the word Cardassian and the word ghoul, and he would think, oh, it's a Cardassian girl. So he would ambush this Cardassian girl that he thinks is coming with the information by being probably fully naked except for a G-string on her bed.
That's not fully naked.
Waiting with like champagne and, you know, others, probably drugs like cocaine, maybe LSD. And when he saw that it was actually a... alien man that arrived and not a Kardashian girl, he would just plow through, pun intended, with his plan.
Sorry.
Sexually.
The person? Okay, sexually. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and he would just, he would try to Austin Powers him. He can probably produce some sort of cravat toothpaste from somewhere.
And yeah, then, it's fine. If you're just going to steal what Chris did, that's great. We'll just yield your time.
I'm surprised at how many answers involve seducing this straight alien lizard man.
Well, how do you know he's straight?
Because he has a child.
You know.
With what does that mean? And a wife.
Could have been. It could have been so? A female been, wife. No, it could have been. So? It could have been a side peer, piece. Could have been peer pressure. Okay.
Listen,
no, it's not.
Get
that.
Him. Get him. Get him.
He's a leader.
Boo this man.
He's a leader. Uh-huh. He has appearances.
That's
to
right.
Keep.
Dig it.
Maybe
light his ass up.
Loves the boy. Oh God. Maybe he loves.
I'm sorry.
He loves. You know, people from his own gender, from other genders.
Yeah, he shouldn't have got out of bed today.
The Kardashians have.
He shouldn't have that toast.
And now
home.
He has this sham marriage like to... that he has to keep up, and he just fucking can't keep
get
it
him.
Up because he doesn't love his wife. He doesn't love his
get
child.
His ass.
Even.
Look at that. Look at that.
What he wants, is some.
Tag,
you know,
tag me in. Tag me in. Tag me in. I want to get this motherfucker. Yo, Spencer, have you ever had motherfucker? Have you ever had KFC? Answer the question, bitch. Yep, have you ever had KFC chicken?
Yes, I have.
Do you know what a side piece is, bitch?
You know, the worst part of this is he's the one laughing the most at his joke.
I'm gonna go ahead. Rerail this.
I yield my time.
Anyway. Cravat, minty toothpaste, ball massage.
Got it.
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Spencer, how would Garrick handle extracting information from a random person whose name is Goldicott's dad's person?
And I'm not allowed to use a mint-filled cravat.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to, but I feel you're above
the
such.
The cravat is mint-filled now.
Toothpaste came from the cravat. You just tag it and I just
mint toothpaste filled cravat. Okay, I'm going to try. And I think.
Do or do not!
Garrick would create a ruse of sorts where he would knock out the commander at some point secretly. Without being seen. And
wait,
then
is it a secret to the commander that he's knocked out?
Yes. It's a secret.
Yeah.
No, it's a secret to Garrick.
I mean, yes. It is.
No witnesses.
He doesn't know he knocked him out.
No witnesses. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Even himself. And then he would put him in a holodeck and then convince him that he was like back on his home world. And Garrick would be playing the role of his wife as a hologram. And he'd be like, honey. How was work? And he'd be like, oh, it was terrible. I can't talk. You know, I can't talk about state security. The Obsidian Order would have my head. And then she goes, I know. Just lay down. I know you're tired. I'm going to give you just a short massage just to get you nice and comfortable.
Where have we heard this before?
And then...
a cravatting, if you will?
No. And then in I don't know if you know this.
Oh, is that what we're calling
on the Cardassian
now?
Planet, they have a neck piece. It goes around their necks and tucks into the front of their shirts. It's like a cloth.
Sexually?
Ascot?
And it's... Some say it's like a cravat, but I wouldn't use those words.
Okay. Mm.
And...
It's reductionist thinking.
And they say... Saying and then, cravat. The wife. Let me get out the massaging oil.
What kind of oil?
Or paste.
Is it?
I'm glad you asked. It's a peppermint.
Penetrating.
Toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exported from the planet Earth.
Sorry. When you say toothpaste, is it made up of human teeth?
Mm.
Like formed into a mint paste?
Mm. No, oddly enough, they collect human teeth, but they buy this to clean the teeth so it looks good on their mantle.
Okay.
So they have it in abundance.
Oh, I for some reason thought they had like with steep teeth. In a mint oil of some sort, and that would make the toothpaste. That's what I thought.
Your
idea makes a little bit more sense.
So,
but
lo and behold,
this man.
Lo and behold, they found out that the toothpaste has a natural aphrodisiac to the Kardashian. Once applied to the back
of what?
The back of the dick.
Back of the back. Back of
what's
the back.
What's the back of the dick?
Dealer's choice. It's dealer's choice, Chris. Dealer's choice.
Okay. It's a Cardassian dick, so
it's
I can't
balls.
Explain it to you.
it really depends on the angle of attack, which one's the back.
Anyways, I'm trying to be serious here, guys. As
I'm
she's rubbing in the mint from the cravat, the Cardassian neckwear.
On the back of his dick.
The back of the cravat. It sounds like the back of the cravat. Sounds like the crack of his ass. Anyways.
The back. Listen, we don't need to get into the dirty details. But there's a finger.
Uranium cream.
And anyway, so then Garrick, pretending to be his wife, creates a scenario where he's comfortable enough to leak these secrets. And And then obviously the guy doesn't.
That's the word you're going with.
Go with it, because he's like, why are you rubbing toothpaste on my back? This is weird. And then once he says that, Garrick shoots him in the head and extracts the information from his brains, as any normal human would do.
Correct.
So I think that's the most obvious answer.
Nope. I think we've done it. Congratulations, everybody. I think we nailed all the questions. I do have a speed round I want.
And then when he sees the dead body fall to the floor, he goes, boo! Boo this body! Boo!
And then the guards proceed to rush into the doors, and what does he do next? I don't
know. And boo! And they all booed. He was asking them to boo. Yeah.
You were a terrible leader.
Yeah.
I hated you. You had no benefits. This job was crap.
Your back is all minty.
Yeah, your brain is in your head. The brain should be in your head, idiot.
Don't you know how toothpaste works?
Don't you know how brains work?
You can do whatever you want in the holodeck. It's fine. I have a real speed round I want to take us through, just because, you know, spying.
Why not?
As much of spying as murdering and rubbing minty toothpaste on people. There is a seduction aspect I think we just really need to capture.
Yeah, because we haven't touched on
We haven't touched deep enough.
So, I'm just going to give us each. I have a list of 200 famous people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to I'm going to use a different randomizer to give the randomizer a time off. The randomizer is going to randomize who goes, and then I'm going to pick a random name from this list that you will then have to describe how you would seduce said person as your spy.
Okay.
So, randomizer, if you could pick who is going to go first in out of the spies.
Blow this man! Blow this randomizer! Boom! This randomizer is nothing like the other randomizer. Blow this randomizer!
It's a different one.
Is this the AOL randomizer? Blow this randomizer!
Randomizers are God. Listen, that was Satan.
Do not mock the randomizer's identity crisis. Okay? That's not nice.
Sounded like a bird.
Wow.
Sounded like AOL.
Yeah, that's not great.
AOL, like an AOL disc you used to get in like magazines to try to help your bottom.
Anyways, the randomizer's done. The randomizer has chosen.
It's done.
The randomizer has chosen Spencer, Garrick.
It's come to completion.
Garrick, how are Garrick you has to going
Spencer?
To seduce? How is Garrick going to seduce Clint Eastwood?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Try to be quick with this one.
Okay, well, he takes the mint and... No, I'm not.
Puts it in the basket.
You ever seen one of these? Colgate? Peppermint?
Bitch!
No. How is he going to seduce Clint Eastwood? The same way he seduces everyone else. Knocks him out, puts him in the holodeck, and then makes himself a hologram of whoever the person wants to fuck. Done and done.
Great job.
No problem.
I have one clarifying point. Garrick is not a hologram.
Yes.
So
what?
How does
all this time?
How does Garrick convince Clint Eastwood to have sex with him if he's not a hologram? He's just Garrick.
No, he can put like a hologram over him. It's just the woman would look like a large woman. So it's a larger woman. Version of the woman he likes.
Clint likes his big enough to meat on his on the bones.
Even if she doesn't, it's just going to be like a larger version of a.
Wow, your
woman.
Grip strength is off the charts, Tammy.
Your thighs and your penis are so
swollen.
Swollen.
Wow, you have a large penis for a woman.
Wow, Tammy. I wish the girls were built like you.
They don't build them like they used to.
Sexually, Tammy. With all due respect, sexually.
Oh. All right, great job. Great quick answer, Spencer. Love it.
Feel like scales.
Chris, Austin Powers is next.
Yeah, baby.
I think he's got a knack for this, so let's get the thing here going. We're going to pick another name. Rihanna. How would awesome powers seduce Rihanna?
Oh, I actually can see that working.
What a softball.
Softball. Yeah. Listen, it's quite easy.
Compared to Garrick seducing a fucking Clint Eastwood.
Actually, it's never too easy. There's always an element of unpredictability when it comes to wooing the object of your affection.
Uh-oh.
And I think the scenario,
Chris, has come to play.
Are you saying that Austin Power would have to work to seduce?
He would work that body into submission on the dance floor. You just gotta make sure that, and you know, and see, Austin knows how to activate the hips, right? So on the dance floor,
under an umbrella,
that's bad luck. So in the club, right? In the club, Rihanna's doing her thing. She might be. Listen, keep your whack ass references. Oh, this is speed round. Boo! Boo!
Boo this man!
Boo this man! anyways,
we boo him to death.
Point him to death. That's how Garrett gets down. So yeah, they would lock eyes across the dance floor, and then Austin would gyrate and gesticulate and essentially charm Riri. To a meeting spot like on the dance floor, and they get down, and then they get down. Yeah, baby.
That was like what's his name? The fucking rapper.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Little John.
I was like, Little John meets Austin Powers. Yeah, baby. Listen,
yeah. They get along.
Little John.
For real.
Moving on, Luciano. You ready for your option?
I don't think so, but let's go.
All right, here we go. Princess Diana.
Jesus Ooh. Christ.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like...
Implications alone.
I feel like it wouldn't be that hard now.
Sexually.
Yeah, it would be hard now.
I said, I mean,
Krieger rebuilds her into a robot, but I think Archer would probably try to disguise himself as Prince Charles.
Hmm. Oh, that's fail. Awful.
Yeah, fail. And then he would like kidnap her.
Okay.
Bring her back to his apartment.
Okay.
And then drug the hell out
this
of
is
her.
Supposed to be seduction, not
this is rape.
Have you met Archer?
This is rape.
Have you met Archer?
Archer doesn't
full on
rape.
Rapist. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never said he was going to rape her.
Okay, so far.
I said he was going to drug her.
And then?
He's just drugged her
to
make her more pliable. And then you would get an agreement from her while she's drugged.
That's rape, right?
Yes.
Textbook rape.
Nice job, you're the patriarchy. Yeah.
You just defined rape like in a definition. We'll move along from there.
No, I think you would have an easy time seducing her in non-honesty because... Her husband was Prince Charles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I think he.
How much?
I think more
need?
Realistically, he'd like meet her, and then like behind the scenes, she's like way chiller, and she's like, "Oh, these fucking stuffy parties suck." And he's like, "Yeah, let's just have some fun.
Let's get out of here. I have some mint toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly.
I have some mint toothpaste. Let's get out of here."
She'd be like, "Yeah, like fuck these guys."
Good job.
I like it.
Yelled it. Moving on. I'm last.
You do.
00006.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
I like it.
006 is coming with Marilyn Monroe. And let's just be honest and frank. Oh. Marilyn Monroe would have to seduce him if anything was to go down. He yields his time.
Okay. I see it.
He'd be like, I'm 006. He'd be like, you're the 007? He'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me. That's the number.
Yeah. Yes, for England, Marilyn.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's it. That's all our questions. We've gone a little over time, but it was important to get our seduction round in, and I think we're all worse for it. thank you for listening to whatever this was. If you'd like to boo us sexually or not sexually, you can do so on the Twitter at your wrongcast.
At us.
You can also email us yarncast@gmail.com and you can even hit up our website www.yourwrongcast.ca.
And don't forget to, who do you think is the best spy? At us.
At Spencer specifically, but
no.
Try to pick from the four spies we talked of.
No,
if possible.
I don't want to be involved with this anymore than I already am.
Exactly.
If you think that your favorite spy could thwart all four of our spies,
Addis.
Oh, we're doing this again. I don't want to.
No, I don't. I don't want to.
For now, I am Matt.
I'm Luciano.
Boo!
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 The ending of this episode. Boo!